Blog Talk Radio.
Now we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. The choice is yours.
Three's the hard way, three's the hard way, three's the hard way.
You
want to
do it the easy way or the hard way?
With over 30 years of combined wrestling experience and knowledge, nearly every bit of it Woody's, Georgia Wrestling History presents Three the Hard Way.
Recording live from somewhere, welcome once again to Three the Hard Way. I am Matt Hankins, and I'm joined from probably somewhere on the road between here and Montana by Big Wood. Woody, what do you got going on, bud?
Not much. I'm in the car. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you loud and clear. Come on, if you got out of the North Georgia mountains, you're probably doing better than normal.
Yeah, doing all right. We're up here in Cherokee looking around, looking for some wildlife, and all I think we've seen is a bunch of crows.
I didn't see not. I was up there for Mania. Me and the buddies rented a cabin in Gatlinburg for the show, and I'm saying I didn't see one animal the whole time I was there, which, you know, I'm from the country, but I ain't from the mountains, so I was pretty glad of it. I don't do bears well, and whatever else lurks up there in them hills, so I was glad of it. But you are off to a much needed vacation. It wasn't too long ago that I feel like we were at a wrestling show for, I don't know, like 12, 13 hours.
Something like that. We definitely had a full day of wrestling yesterday. Started at about 6:30 yesterday morning. And I finally got to bed about 2:00 last night. So it was hump day all day yesterday.
It was getting it, moving a ring from place to place, putting on two shows, but it looked like you had a pretty good day, especially the second half where, you know, it was a benefit show for Showtime's uncle, and it looked like that thing went really well. I mean, I was glad to be a part of it, and it looked like everything went well. I mean, the matches were top-notch, too. I mean, not to be bragging, but, you know, I felt like the managing in the Cyrus versus Shane Marks match, I felt the managing was excellent.
Yeah, it was a very good match, dude. It's like, I honestly felt every match last night could have been the main event. It was strong. Cyrus and Shane Marks tore the house down like they always do. I like to see old Shane Marks make a run at Cyrus sometime. I believe that would be a very good program.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it's easy to hate Cyrus because he's big, but also very talented and runs that mouth. And then he's got Logan Chase with him too, and that makes it even worse. But let's hit on that for a minute, because not necessarily to talk about those two in particular, but there are some guys that you get them in the ring, you know, on paper it looks like, oh, this would be great. And then you get them in the ring and it's even better. And I'm sure did you have people like that when you were working, somebody that just no matter what y'all did, it just all clicked and you were just always on the same page?
It was some guys like that. And then, you know, we also had some guys that looked great on paper, looked like teetotal shit when you did it. So you don't never know. But, you know, when they look good on paper and in your mind what's going to look like, usually it comes out pretty good. But there has been a few instances where it just didn't work.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, you know, sometimes the easy thing is, oh, these guys kind of look similar and they're built the same way. Let's get them in there and just have them beat on each other. And that doesn't necessarily always – that's usually where it goes bad is if you kind of have – I call them pixel swaps because like in a
yep.
video game, if you have two characters that essentially do the same thing, you just put different clothes on them, you know, they're pixel swaps and everything's, oh, that would be great to see those. But if they're doing the same things, it doesn't really leave a lot of room to be jazzed up about it. It doesn't leave a lot of room to be excited about something because there has to be a bit of a styles clash to have a great match. I mean, you can have a very good match, and you can have certainly a match that stands out if it's two guys that do similar things. If you think about I think about all those like cowboy guys, you know, when Brody and Hanson would go at each other, and then eventually they teamed up.
Yeah.
You know, guys of that, you know, they did the same things, but, you know, you're talking about a different kind of same thing there. Just, you know, guys are holding on for dear life, you know. As Hanson went into the Hall of Fame, you know, this past Mania, you know, you look at a guy like him and Vader, who are very similar in what they do, but they were he was so crazy that it just made it work because you really didn't know what would happen. But I'm super proud of the effort the guys put on last night because it did, you know, and that's the second time I think that they've had a singles match. I think the last time they were in there together was actually I was involved in the match and Logan was as well, so that was a different thing. But you know, those two had a really good match. And the first one, matter of fact, you can find that first match. I think it's still up on, if you're a Roku person, it's still up on the Indie Wrestling Channel. If you look for DSCW, you'll find it there, and it is really good. But,
very
Cyrus is one of those guys that, you know, it's the one. It's just going to take the right person to see Cyrus one time, and he'll be off to the races.
Because you know, he's I'm sorry, I didn't. Yeah, I know you were just talking about that. You know, RCW down in Chatsworth got Jarrett coming in, and he's doing a seminar before. You know, and he's trying to get Global Force off the ground. And
yeah.
I really suggested to Cyrus that he go do that, and I believe he's going to do it because, you know, I think Jarrett likes big guys like him. You know, I know he uses that Congo Kong and some other big guys, so I thought he might be a good fit for Jarrett and him, so maybe let's cross our fingers for him.
Yeah, and the thing that stands out to me about Cyrus, he is a big guy. And let me tell you, people, when we talk about how strong he is, it's not a joke. It's not – there is no promotion in this. It is real life. As Hay Balin, country boy strong. They happen to have a weight room in there last night, and just to watch some of the things he does in there, it's real. But he is so much past that, and I think the thing about him in particular, and a lot of guys in our area that they don't get credit for, is his mind for wrestling is incredibly sharp. He knows when to do what, how to do it, and how to have the kind of match where you, if you went back and you took it piece by piece and you looked at all of it, you say, well, they didn't do a whole lot. They didn't go crazy, but it was really, really exciting, and what was big really stood out. So he's very good at putting things in the match that make it memorable without being just an overblown spot fest, as some guys tend to want to do.
It's like their match last night told a great story too. You know, it wasn't just wrestling moves. I mean, there was a story. There was a build between the two that hyped up and built to the end. And that's what's lacking a lot nowadays. And he has a great mind for that. Of course, you know, you do, and Shane does, and Logan does. So you had four geniuses out there together in my eyes when it comes to wrestling. So.
And he and Shane both have that thing of, all right, let's do the right match for the show, but at the same time, we can steal this thing. Let's go get it. let's go steal it, you know, in the context. Let's do it right, but let's really have – I don't know if I've ever managed in a match where the crowd was so locked into it that when, you know, Shane hits that big power bomb off the top rope and he covers him and Cyrus kicks out, the gasp that came out of that crowd was incredible. I mean, it was – and that happened a couple times in that match, you know, when Cyrus gives him the big top rope suplex and Shane gets the leg on the rope and the crowd just, it might happen. I had never seen anything like that when I was being out there. Obviously, I've seen it, but just being out there, that was where it really hooked in. I mean, it was just a good day of wrestling, man. I mean, you guys did a great job. And, you know, you're in a different venue.
Yep. I love that venue that we ran last night, Pickens County High School. It's a great venue. It's just, you have to carry everything 50 yards to set up.
That's the
only drawback to that place. And, you know, I kind of like the middle school a lot better. You know, another thing we didn't mention, you know, earlier in the day we did our customer appreciation day at Tied Upon a Blue Ridge. I have a contract with them. We do a lot of their events during the year. And history was made yesterday. The undefeated Hindu got his first win yesterday.
It was a very creative finish, Woody. I got to give you credit on that. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in my life. I can tell you that right now. Where did you get the idea for that at?
That didn't come out of my head, but it was pretty good. I'll tell you everybody what happened. So, actually, this is a young lady named Katie Ono was making her GPW debut. So I brought her in, was going to kind of fill her out, see how she worked. So put her in there. She was working Hindu. And so the match got rolling. About 2 minutes into the match, she opens up with a lot of flurries, arm drags, hip tosses, drop kicks. Hindu slides out. Next thing I know, she disappears. And I look over, I'm like, where is she? So we look down there, and the poor thing, she was sick that morning, but she tried to fight through it, you know, and come on and, you know, do her spot. But poor thing, she's up under the ring just heaving, throwing up, and referee's one looking like, oh, what the hell did I do? I'm like, count her out.
Start the count, my friend. That's your job.
Count her out. Follow it. But he followed the rules. And so Hindu gets his win in about 2 minutes by count out, by regurgitation, I guess you might say. So that was interesting,
I mean, it's just
sure.
Gary Hart himself couldn't have booked it no better.
Everybody's jaw was on the floor, including mine.
And as you can imagine, this being a wrestling show with a bunch of wrestlers, and particularly on this show, a bunch of guys that knew each other very well. You know, this was sort of the old timers club yesterday with myself and Shane Marks thrown in. But again, I've always felt like family when I was at one of your shows anyway. So it was all guys that weren't afraid to embarrass themselves with a story or two. And Woody, I think you might have stole the show with your recounting of match. Why don't you tell the people that one too?
Which one now?
I believe you took a top rope splash from somebody.
Okay. I'll break this story down for you. So one time I was wrestling for Ron and Brent West in Athens, Tennessee. And so I'm wrestling a guy named the Mountain Man. You know, the gimmick pretty much self-explanatory. He's a big old guy, came out to the ring barefooted and wore hee-haw overalls. Remember the show Hee-Haw?
I've got a DVD collection right now.
I'm going to borrow that. he come out in hee-haw overalls, and I'm doing just some kind of bruiser gimmick at the time, you know, nothing fancy, just an angry young man at the world. So we start off the match, well, the set off the night before, me, Drew, Drew Gang, Ben Thrasher.
Already a problem right there.
Bunch of the guys, we went to the Rock and Country Night before, and I had drank two or three kegs of beer and a bunch of liquor. So I was coming off the effects the night before. So me and the Mountain Man start off the match. He shoots me off the rope. Big shoulder tackle down. I go, and guess what? My intestinal organs cut loose, you might say. So I went number two in my pants. I'm like, oh, man, what I'm going to do. So I'm just so lucky that the bathrooms of the armory were right in the middle. The bathroom's armory is right in the middle of it. So I took off, and I ran straight to the bathroom. I went, oh, God, what am I going to do? So I stripped down my butcher. I pulled it off, and I took my underwear, wiped my tail, throwed them in the garbage can, throwed my tights back on, and about the time I got my last strap pulled over, he comes running in there to the bathroom. He goes, you all right, brother? I'm like, oh, I'm okay, man. I just hurt my back. Let's go. So we fought outside the ring, fought all the way back to the ring. Nobody never knew that I crapped my pants. So,
the Mountain Man didn't even know it.
He did not even know it until I told him later.
That's a working boy.
I worked hard, man. I was like, you know, I was lucky it wasn't, you know, a large amount. I would have never been able to cover it, I don't believe. But I pulled out the false finish on him.
You know, you can say what you want about this business, but there's a lot of things you just can't plan for, and that is certainly one. And that's the thing, you know, that if you want to go behind the curtain a little bit, folks, when you're in a building last night, you that's kind of when Woody says, "Oh, I like that building." What he's really saying is, there's bathrooms in the locker room. Issue number one. I have not been doing this a very long time, but I've certainly been in enough places to know that my, because, like, you know, it's kind of stair steps. Best case scenario is you're completely cut off from the crowd and there's a restroom. Hopefully there's multiple restrooms that you can get to in the back. And then the next one is, well, there's a bathroom that you can get to, but it's also the same bathroom that the fans share. So that's the next level down. And then there's the third level of no, that you got nothing. You can't even get outside to, you know, use the bathroom that God provided us. And I have seen more people that I grew up watching on TV using a sink as a bathroom than I ever thought I would in my life.
Exactly. I did a show in Calhoun, Georgia one time, an outdoor show. This was pitiful situations, man. It was an auto auction, but we had to get dressed outside. And they had a big tarp wrapped around the edge of the building, and they had a smoldering pot out there. And it was about 20 degrees and spitting snow. And we had to get dressed in that crap. So I'm you talking, you remember those smoldering pots like using chicken houses and stuff?
That's
what we had as a dressing room. And then the venue was not much better. I mean, it was a drive-through car auction. The ceiling was about 9 foot tall. And the wrestling ring was about 2 foot tall. So that cut out all high flying. As a matter of fact, that pretty much cut out standing in the ring. So I've wrestled in some real shithole over the years, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that was in talking to some of the guys yesterday that I hadn't seen in a while. They had been down to our house at PCW, and that was the best compliment that I could ever get. Is, you know, like when you just walk in our building, like, oh, this place just feels inviting, it feels homely. But man, there is no substitute for having a venue to A, call home, and B, have it be a place that you're not embarrassed about.
Yeah. I'm not inviting my friends to come watch this show. No way.
Right. No, y'all catch us on the next road show. Don't catch us.
They're gonna go, sure, you're a professional wrestler, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The, why is there a guy in the back selling jewelry? Why did I have to walk past some sort of cowboy boot stand to get in here?
Oh man, it's like I remember one time I was at a show and some guy was selling porn back there. He's like, he had a box full of porn, and he was just like, "Hey, you know, I want to buy some of that, three of them for $5, you know, or you know, $3 a piece or something like that." And this guy selling porn back here in the back.
It's not even good quality. And, you know, well,
yeah.
In this day and age, you can do all right. You can start cobbling together all the former wrestlers and have tapes. You can probably do a nice crossover. I mean, what do you want to send a call, Woody? I mean, I'm sure you got a tape out there somewhere.
Well, I didn't get to buy anything from him. He didn't have any midget porn. That's what I wanted. Didn't have it, so.
I just have to believe that in somebody's dusty old garage, there is a tape of the centerfolds doing something that they don't want out there.
If anybody
can find that for me.
I guarantee you, especially with Kenny Arden, you can guarantee you they ain't no telling what in the world. But,
oh man, yeah, it was a marathon day, but it was a good one. You get up in the morning and crawl out of bed and go to wrestling. You're like, what am I doing? And then you get there, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember. I love this stupid shit. So,
you know what?
You know why
I realized yesterday that I am not a smart man. What the hell was I thinking trying to get wrestlers to get out of bed before 9 o'clock?
Oh, that's crazy talk, Woody. That is insane.
Crazy
if I have to
talk.
Set an alarm to get to the show, that's crazy. But
we
got it done. We had a real good time. And we shared it. And that's what, you know, just kind of me and Woody said, I was like, you know, that should probably be a lot more of the show that we do here. Because I think people just like to hear good stories. I had a lot of compliments on the show about Randall, and I heard a lot more Randall stories yesterday. But I'm certainly glad I got to hear. They might not be ready for the air, but I was certainly glad to hear them. But that's just kind of, that's just, that, and that is all part of it is, you just, it's that connection, man. It's that connection with guys from walks of life that you never would have connected with. But you sit around the locker room and all of y'all really like Tito Santana and something just starts to happen.
Something's going to happen for sure.
I didn't get a chance to see his match last night, but I've been hearing a lot about this Bosworth guy. Looks great, and you had him up last night. How did he do?
I was pretty pleased with him. I reckon he's from Harley School. From Harley School, and boy, you know, he's built good, looks good. You know, he looks like a wrestler, and he didn't do anything extraordinary, but he kept. It was old school, solid match. He worked Talon, and Talon's a solid wrestler, and he was pretty impressive. He's got all the goods. I just think he's going to need another year or two with the right people, working with the right people, you know, and he should be a next level guy, you know. I don't even think he probably has any body fat at all, would you say?
I'm capable of judging that kind of thing. that's not my area of expertise, but in my neophyte mind, I didn't see any. I didn't pitch him, but I bet I wouldn't have found much if I did.
No, he's solid, you know, and he's got that look, you know. He's got that it factor with just if he gets the tools, you know, gets his tools
and
together.
We're starting to see a little bit more of that, you know. Gunnar Miller made his big PCW debut on our last show. And,
I
was certainly impressed. I hate that he's with Jeff G. Bailey. But that aside, my personal feelings aside, if I was a young guy looking to get seasoned and looking to make a real run at it, I think Jeff G. Bailey would be a guy whose wing I'd want to be under. And he was absolutely impressive. And I think we'll start to see a lot more of those Empire guys sort of, as Scott Hensley wrote that thing about things to watch for, and that was one of the things he mentioned, was sort of the disbursement of that Empire group. And, you know, we talked about it here on this show, on our first episode, when we were talking to Drew and Susan about how if y'all ever stop running weekly, you know, it'd be great to get a chance to have those guys on our shows. And unfortunately for them, but certainly luckily for us, we had Eli Thompson and Steve Dave, who were Empire guys, come down, and they did a really good job for us. But I think you're going to start to see – and that might be the thing that really helps pick Empire back up when they do start, you know, running their spot shows, is all those guys now. And it's very similar to how PCW was, you know, when it first started, everybody was sort of in-house and they were all being trained in the same place and trained by the same jackass. And then they all dispersed and you couldn't look on a Saturday night and not see some of the guys in the card. I think that may be the same thing that happens for Empire, but you know, Gunnar Miller and Bosworth both. I think Gunnar's probably a little more seasoned right now than Bosworth is, but it won't take long to get there. But that look, they've got incredible looks.
Bosworth's working, you know, he's working in Peach State down there under Rick Michaels' take care. So that's going to be a good learning tree for him for sure, you know. Like I said, he's got the fundamental stuff. I mean, like I said, you know, he had the right trainer, you know. But it's the whole thing of getting out and doing the road miles and intertwining with other wrestlers besides the ones you came up with. That's lacking. And I think this, I mean, I'm not saying shutting down an Empire was a good thing at all, but I think for some of the guys it's going to be a plus for them to get out a little bit too. You know, like you're saying, come and work here, some guys. Come work with some of my guys. Feed off the minds of you know, Bill Barons. Feed off the minds of Rick, you know, Rick Michaels and guys like that. You know, is a plus for them. You know,
a good mind. I dread the day when Andy takes another booking gig somewhere, you know, every week or, you know, every couple weeks, because he's as good as they come. And, you know, his guys believe in him. And you know that as well as I know that, is that's half the battle right there. Is if your guys believe that you'll look out for them, they'll run through a wall for you. And sometimes, if you're Andy, you literally have them run through a wall for you.
Literally.
But, you know, it does go to show that we've got a lot of talent in our area, and I'm glad to have it. Well, all right, Woodrow, we're going to take just a little bitty break, but I want you to think about something during this break, because it's something I've been wanting to talk to somebody who knows more than me about for a long time, and that is Tennessee wrestling. I've got some questions to ask, and I need to get some expert opinion. So we'll be right back in just a bit with a little more of Three the Hard Way.
All right.
Grab a great big truck.
back, that was the Ballad of Bull Ramos from a little band called the Mountain Goats, because, yes, I am the kind of weirdo that goes and finds songs about wrestling. That is one of my other great loves in life. Is I'm a big music head, and I'll listen to just about anything, and that thing was stuck in my head for 2 weeks, and so I'm going to put it on everybody else. But coming out of WrestleMania, you know, everybody has an opinion, and I was reading what Bret Hart had to say about the ladder match. And, you know, he was not the biggest fan of it because he felt like the psychology was wrong and it was too spot heavy and all those things. And while those things are certainly valid observations, when reading the piece, he said that when he first mentioned having a ladder match in the WWF, I believe it was Jay Strongbow he was talking to. And or maybe this was even in, it was in WWF. And he told him about all the great ladder matches he had had with Stu in Calgary. And Strongbow said, "Well, you mean a ladder match, like one of those Tennessee Town Killer matches?" And that just reminded me of, like, reading the Gary Hart book and how he talked about Tennessee wrestling and how crass they were and how distasteful they oftentimes were and how it was just sort of a disdain on wrestling. You would have been, you know, watching wrestling during that time. What was your opinion of it?
Of the ladder match?
Of just Tennessee wrestling in general, just back in the 70s and 80s and the reputation it sort of got.
Well, I was raised on Tennessee wrestling.
That's what I figured.
I was a Nick Dulles guy. You know, I watched Dulles wrestling out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And come on WDF Channel 12 every Saturday morning, and they would do a bunch of squash matches during the day. Then they'd set up a match or two for the Moore Auditorium that night. It was Tennessee wrestling was different. It was, and on the wrestling I was raised on, it was not very spotty at all, and it was very simple. You know, it's more grab the hold, more of a punch, and I mean they were finishing guys with atomic drops. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've seen Jackie Fargo beat guys with atomic drops many a times, and.
Mm-hmm.
It was easier back then, you know. It was like the refs had a lot of heat on them back then, you know, because you know a lot of your bad guys would hide stuff in their mask, in their tights, and I remember watching my grandpa get so mad, and he wouldn't get mad at the wrestlers. He would get mad at the referees. He would get so mad. Them stupid GD refs, they're blind, blah, 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 you know. And I remember that, when I was a kid. I mean, he would just, like, always get mad at the referees, you know. I guess he was mad at the heel wrestler, but
uh-huh.
I just always remember him being so mad at the referees, you know. I mean, he would throw stuff at the TV. Stupid referee, this and that, you know. But, you know, I love Tennessee wrestling. I love it was good storytelling. It was different, you know. Of course, it was different than watching Atlanta wrestling and watching Georgia Championship wrestling. So,
what do you think gave it such a bad reputation in some circles?
I guess it was kind of like the bad bodies. There was a lot of bad bodies. You know, the guys had pot bellies and buggy whip arms. You know, you ever heard that expression, buggy
yeah.
whip arms?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it was all bad, you know. That was just like, you know, Ron Wright, man. He got, you know, he had He didn't have a good body at all, but, you know, he got so much. He was probably one of the most hated men ever in Tennessee wrestling. He had to watch for his life when he left the shows, you know. I think a lot of it was the mentality of the fans back then. It was easier to get over, so it's like, don't kill yourself if you don't have to. That's the reason Tennessee wrestling, it was easier, you know, kind of an easier crowd, easier territory kind of deal.
And I'm wondering, was it more insulated as well? Because it seems like, you know, all the stories I hear of guys who, when I hear Reed stories and hear old stories about the old timers talking about how bad Tennessee wrestling was, the reaction could have been that they weren't getting booked there as well.
Could have been.
I wonder if it was just that the people that ran Tennessee were so, you know, insulated and, you know, they weren't necessarily NWA folks. And
yes.
I wonder if that had a lot to do with sort of how they're the Outlaws. And no matter what the Outlaws did, you said it was bad because it wasn't your thing. But on the flip side of that, though, it seems like Memphis is not remembered that way. Or maybe I'm just not around the right people, but it seems like, you know, Memphis is always kind of glowed about because of the extravagance of what they did. Was that as crazy as it always sounded to me? Of course, I've watched video, I've seen all that, but, you know, if you're not kind of on the ground floor, if you're just looking back and saying, oh, the Beatles were huge, you can't really understand a world without the Beatles. So what was the world like before Memphis, and how did it change after Memphis kind of took off?
That's a good question. I loved Memphis wrestling. I didn't get to follow Memphis wrestling until later in my career, later in my life.
Yeah.
And I think they had a good TV, I think they had a good TV and they had good announcers to get their product over. I think that was a big plus for Memphis. I think the area it was, it's right there on the Arkansas border, and the population was right, and, the TV was right, and I think it was good, and they would bring in some cream of the crops. They would spend some money to bring in a lot better talent, in Memphis. I think that was a lot of the difference, and a good booking, too. There was some really good booking. Big angles, you think about some of the big stuff that happened in Memphis. One of the things that sticks out in my mind in Memphis wrestling is Terry Funk and Waller, the empty arena match,
Yeah.
You remember, that's one of the big things,
Nobody would try that now, right? Because you're not going to waste a house.
Well, I'm looking at it nowadays, a lot of the guys are doing it even if they're trying to draw, they run some fade and miss, and they still can't get no damn people in there.
I'm not going to lie. I've certainly managed in a couple of damn near empty arena matches.
I've been there. I've wrestled in front of two people before. Really had two paying customers. You got to give them what the people paid for. So.
You got to give it to them. Oh, man. And, Georgia kind of went – I don't think it's as bad now, but, I hate to even bring it up, but what the hell with it. That's people know it anyway, so in a sense, and sitting there acting like it doesn't exist. But, we were talking about trash bag wrestling yesterday.
And
it's sort of become a running joke, especially here. Because there was a time where Georgia just dominated that board. Every time you scroll through, I know that guy. And the comments were always, more stupid Georgia shit. And, it kind of sticks in your craw a little bit, even though now you can kind of look past it and laugh. And I think now it's just become a rib more than anything, because it's guys that certainly have gear and look well,
yes.
But maybe they were doing one thing or another. And so their buddies are just sending the pictures in. But at the same time, did you feel that sting a little bit? Not from that necessarily, but just in general, that Georgia does not have the most positive reputation for wrestling outside of our walls here.
Well, yeah, of course, the reason why I think it does, there's just a damn lot of wrestling promotions in Georgia compared to other states besides maybe North Carolina. I bet Georgia's probably got more promotions than any other state in the country, probably. I'd hate to know
there was one with more. I really would. Like I said, other than Carolina, North Carolina. But I'd be shocked to find out.
I guarantee you, Carolina and Georgia's right there with probably neck and neck with most promotions in the state, you know, in the states, in the United States. I think a lot of it's by the numbers game, you know. There's more Georgia promotions, so that opens the doors for more media stuff for them to go get the pictures and whatnot, you know. Not all Georgia wrestlers. I mean, every show has good wrestlers. Some, you know, some 2 or 3, some 10 or 20, you know.
Yeah.
But
it probably dilutes our talent pool a good bit, too. I mean, if you're in a state, you take the Northeast, which is always, you know, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. Those are places that have a really good reputation for independent wrestling. And they certainly have a high number of promotions, but I don't think it's – I hate to talk without having the numbers in front of me, but at the same time, I don't get the feeling that there are as many as there are here. And so, yeah, you can have – if you've only got one promotion, two promotions in, say, a county, it's easy to pick and choose. You know, you get the cream of the crop. But if there's 5 promotions in your county and you're all running on the same Saturday night, you got to fill out that card somehow. And I think that might get us. And I wish they'd stop doing tax refunds. If I could just get that cut out, I think we'd lose a lot of the – we'd cut a lot of the fat.
Cut it out quick. I don't know. I like that. That's a running joke with me every year at tax season. It's time for the next newest, greatest wrestling promotion to start. But, you know, we were talking about the numbers games and the trash bag deal. It's like we were talking about Bosworth earlier. That's the reason he moved to Georgia. Out west, there's no wrestling. I mean, there's some. There's not many, you know, wrestling promotions to hone your craft. I mean, you know, there's always some, but there's a little more of abundance, you know. And my understanding was from a pretty reliable source told him to get to Georgia. Get to Georgia, you can get seen there, and there's an abundance of wrestling promotions.
You look around, and you don't have to look very far to see a lot of Georgia talent on your TV. You don't have to. I mean, Xavier Woods is a WWE Tag Team Champion. AJ Styles is the number one contender. Dash Wilder is a NXT Tag Team Champion. You can't look around without seeing Chip Day on somebody's poster. UHA Nation, Apollo Crews now, just moved up to the main roster. So, I mean, we certainly have had talent here. And I guess, again, being here, I probably say it too much, but we get a little spoiled. I just assume it's the same way everywhere. Like, well, we do wrestling. Why don't you guys do it? Y'all like wrestling too. But, you know, I just don't – I need to think no further back than when I was growing up in Alabama. I saw one independent wrestling show in the 18, 19 years that I lived in Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't even know, I don't know who put it on, you know, obviously I was a kid, I was, you know, 6 years old, but I don't know the name of it. I just know that the Armstrong brothers were there. And that's about all. I think there was some guy named Pepper Harris who was a big deal. But, you know, that's it. And we're just a state over. And I know that people in Alabama love wrestling just like they do in Georgia. But we're up to the gills with it. And that is kind of one of those things. We talked a lot about Empire. I don't want to retread that. We talked about that a lot last week. But a lot of our – a lot of the big – established promotions are gone away now. Those of us that remain are working hard, but we kind of are sort of at a, dare I say, tipping point to where it's time for the next generation to kind of start coming up and taking some ownership here, because we need some new blood. It's not that I'm certainly not saying we need to save wrestling. I think that,
that
filling up 100,000 seat stadium with wrestling fans goes to show a lot that we're doing okay. All of us here would like to be doing a little better, but again, we know the things that we're fighting against. But it is about time for somebody to come up and make a move, and it may have to be, you know, one of our shows or maybe AWE or, you know, Peach State. It may have to be one of those groups that kind of just grabs the reins and says, this is our thing now, because there is no middle ground. That is one thing that I will say about Georgia, is we don't have a lot of middle ground. You either run a very good show, or you probably run a show that is not very good. Would you agree with that?
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt. There's no lukewarm here at all. It's either trash or it's just, you know, top and high end shows. And, you know, and I think a lot of that goes to your booking, you know, having that good booker pulling in the high-end talent. And the high-end talent wants to work the good shows.
Absolutely.
The high-end talent don't want to work the low-end shows, you know.
No.
You know, they try to steer away because your high-end talent's wanting to get a, you know, they're wanting to get a job, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to better self by working the better shows. You know, I know about you. I'd much rather work in front of 200 people or 300 people as I had 30 people any day.
Yeah.
And if
I'm not wrestling in front of a big crowd, I certainly want the crowd to be extremely engaged and hang on the edge of that seat. You know, I think we get lost in numbers sometimes, because I've certainly been in front of 300 people and they did not care. Because,
been there,
you know,
done that too.
The show had beat them up. I will say that I don't think we've ever gone out of the curtain and not given a 100% effort and did what we needed to do, but sometimes you're just fighting an uphill battle because the person who put the show together just didn't know how to do it the best. They didn't know how to optimize it. You know, you have too many intermissions, or you have matches that go too long. You have guys that think, oh, this is, I'm telling a story that's 4 minutes long, but if I'm out here for 16 minutes, I'm really going to tell this story. And we fight that a lot, too.
you know, nobody wants to sit in a hard-ass metal chair for 4 hours.
Never comfortable. I've never been in a comfortable wrestling show.
No. I mean, and I try to keep my shows between two and a half hours tops. And, hell, I take a pillow myself to sit for the few hours that I'm there. And you know what? People don't want to sit for 4 or 5 hours in a hard-ass metal chair. And
you got to leave them wanting a little something else, right?
You can't give it all to them in one show.
Can't give it all to them in one sitting.
That's something I learned in the past. You know, I'll hurt myself by giving it all to them before.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, how the hell am I going to follow this up? Cletus just cut off Cyrus's head with an axe. Now what am I going to follow this up with, you know?
And somehow Cyrus still went over.
Yeah. He sewed his own head back on and finished, you know. You can give him too much, you know. But you can give him too little. I've seen guys work harder out of doing work than doing the work, you know. I've seen guys running from to take a bump, you know.
Yes.
And then it'd be, I don't know why there's 15 people sitting out here. I mean, you know, I've watched 3 matches and seen 3 bumps. So.
A lot of walk and talk.
Yes.
We'll call it out there, walk and talk. Brother, 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 I'm dead. There's your match.
I'm the best.
Well,
I
know I seem to spend a lot more time bragging on your bunch than I probably should, but I'm going to do it again. I saw the performance Shaggy put on last night, and this is how I'm tying this in, is we were just talking about what's doing too much, what do you need to go out there and do all the spots, do you need to go do none of the spots, take your bunch. Sometimes it's just about a guy grabbing a hold of the thing he's doing and executing it well, and I know that you had to be as proud as punch with how that thing played out. I don't want to talk about the angle too much because that might be giving a little bit too much away. But just that performance, I was spellbound by it.
Let me tell you something. When my partner came up with this idea, I literally horse laughed and said, "This is the stupidest idea I have ever heard. It will never work. Shaggy will never get it over." And I'm sitting here right now telling you that I am wrong, totally wrong. It has went over. He has done an amazing job, and I just can't see what the future holds for this whole deal.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's weird because that just shows that booking sensibilities can be completely on the polar opposite spectrum, because when I was there the night that you first tried to get this thing going, and we'll just say that the performers didn't quite grasp it and didn't do as good as the job as they could have done with it. But
yes,
I saw... And this is not to say, I knew it was going to work and you didn't. I'm just saying that this is how our brains can work, and neither one of us are necessarily wrong. But I saw like, I know what they're trying to do, and if they do it, this is the kind of thing I would want to watch. This is the thing that I would like to see. And I felt like a kid at the candy store last night, and I felt, you know, I was like, they're going to do it, because I had heard the rumblings of, it's happening. And so I snuck out to watch it, and they're building up to the spot, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen. You know, I just know that there's something going, you know, they're walking down the road to something. I've watched enough wrestling to know something's going to happen, and I was like, okay, I hope it's not thing A, because that would be underperformance, but if it's thing B, it's going to be amazing. And when it was thing B, I just laughed like a schoolgirl and ran to the back. Like, they did it. It was masterful. It was all Shaggy. And, you know, Shaggy's never a guy who's going to win Wrestler of the Year. Shaggy's some people will look at and just kind of scoff. And certainly the good old boys have made Trash Bag a record amount of times. But I'm saying all this to say this, that a performance is a performance, and you cannot knock a man when he goes out there and he latches on to something that is really and truly completely out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
And when they make that work, you know you got something on your hands. I saw it myself at our show, past show, Kevin Park, who is the guy that is kind of – he's been a utility player at a number of places. And he came into PCW, and we did a little this with him, did a little that with him, and things just, you know, didn't quite catch. Well, we put him in a gauntlet match at our last show. I'm like, all right, all I can do is put you in your best places to see, but you got to go do it. And our crowd is, we have a very passionate fan base. They love the show, but they're not going to give it to you easy. And we don't do standing ovations. Now, you got to really do something special to get a standing ovation. And Kevin goes out there, and he works this gauntlet match. And he ends up with KT Hamill debuting at the end. And they just go light the place up. They just tear it up. And Kevin loses the match. But you would have thought he just won the title from the reaction he got.
Yeah.
In the ring. And that's one of those things you never know when it's going to happen. You never know when one of your guys is going to take that next step. But, man, when you get to see it happen, it is just amazing. There's no feeling like it in the world. It's the A-team, it's Hannibal all day. It's just you love it when a plan comes together. And, man, to get to watch that is one of those things that you cannot explain how it feels when it all just falls into place.
Yeah. He's probably been sitting there going, put me in, coach. I can do this. Put me in, you know. And
I said,
all
right.
Put the guy in and knocks a grand slam, buddy, you know.
Yeah. We're down four. The leading scorer just fouled out. I got to have somebody go out there and play the rest of his time. And he did it. It's incredible.
And that's the great thing of great storytelling and great booking. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's a blessing when you take that chance and that guy does knock it out of the park, you know, you're like, hell yes. You know, and you just, there's no better feeling in the world when you've drawn something up in your head and it works and it gets over. You know, you've been there and you've done that. And I know you've done it a bunch of platinum. But, you know, when you got this in your head the way you want to go, and when it goes the way you want it to go, you know, there's no better feeling in the world.
And that is the great leveling out. You know, I would imagine that no matter if you're at the independent level like we are or if you're running a $1 billion company, that when you draw out the thing and it comes to fruition, I'd imagine that feeling, we all have the exact same thing. And it goes past, oh, man, I can draw money with this, or, oh, man, I can really really cash checks on this. It's just there's some feeling like we did it.
Yes.
Because it means you all got on the same page. And you know as well as I do, that's really hard to do in this business.
It is. And your fans are on the same page, you know.
Yeah, everybody. It is that communal effect of we all got there at the same place. Well, we somehow did it again, Woody. We ran our yap for a full-on hour. This marks the 14th in a row that we've done since yesterday. What you got going on coming up? What do you
got?
Two
shows this weekend, coming weekend. Friday night, we're going to be in Blairsville, Georgia, doing a fundraiser for SAFE. That stands for, SAFE. Yeah, it's for abused women, you know, families in emergency situation kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So they help folks out with that. It's kind of odd we're doing a wrestling show for our second year with these guys, but it gets over. So that's all we got on Friday. Then Saturday night, we're in Pelico Plains, Tennessee, following up for our big second show there to see how it's going to do. So that's the only two we got. What you got going on?
We are back in action on Saturday at the Main Event Arena in Porterdale. It is going to be an exciting time as we see Uncle Money, who has taken PCW by storm, go one-on-one with the Carpenter. And this is an incredibly important match because Uncle Money gets there and he's a great-looking guy, got great energy, gets the crowd really behind him, and a cornerstone one of them. If he spurned their advances and he chose the good guy team, he chose the old home team, he's riding with PCW, but the Carpenter is after him, and we have, once again, in action, Gunnar Miller. And not 100% completely confirmed yet, but I will just give you a teaser, folks. If it comes to pass and he's wrestling, who I think he might be wrestling, you better look out. Because it's it is going to be something to behold. So 6 p.m. is the bell time at the Main Event Arena in Porterdale, Georgia. There ain't no excuse, because there ain't nothing but asphalt and opportunity between you and us to get on that one.
Hey, guys, if you can't,
Go ahead, Woody.
Hey, if you can't come out and support Platinum, or you can't come out and support Georgia Premier, go out and support independent wrestling.
Find you somebody.
Try something. Give it a chance. Give it a chance. And it might, your first chance might not be good. You know, so if that don't work, go to another one and give it a chance. Don't give up on the first show you see. There's
a lot of good
product out there. So,
all right, folks. Well, the music has come in, Blaine.
We're shutting it down once again. Thank you for listening
to this broadcast. Thank you for joining us here. And you can catch Kevin Trump on the next week. Thank you.
Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued